The Athlete CEO Podcast. Let's go. Here he is, the man.
Hey, Tom.
How are you? How are you, brother?
Nah, good, thank you. Good, thank you.
Awesome, man. Look, firstly, I just want to say, massive thank you for taking the time out to have a chat here. I really do appreciate it. And so let's get started. Firstly, just share a quick 60-second bio, just telling a bit about yourself, mainly for those people that may not know a bit about you. So over to you, bro.
Hey, what's up? I'm Levi Pulu, originally from New Zealand, Auckland. It's been quite a journey. Half Tongan, half Māori. Got three kids, got a wife. Been pretty much on the other side of the world. I've learned on that side. And just enjoying my footy right now. So,
Ah, awesome, bro. Awesome. Thanks for that. Speaking of footy, I thought that's where we'll start right now. Huge congratulations to the brothers over there at the Warriors. But I think it's a bit of a sweet moment for you, bro, because I know you're currently out injured at the moment. So when can we expect you back on the field?
Yeah, I'll be out for 12 weeks. I was gutted at the time, but, I felt that, everything happens for a reason. I'm glad it was just a minor injury. It's not an injury that's, a 12-month injury. So, I just got to go back to the training paddock and just touch up on the things that I'm weak at. And for now, it's my upper body. So, and saying that, just all I can do now is just encourage the boys and just help them out on, and just being a good encouragement to them, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. It's awesome, and like I said, hard luck. But, while we're talking on your injury, bro, I just wanted to just touch on it a bit, just in case, because I know that we will have a lot of young viewers, maybe, and parents who have aspiring young footy players. How important is rehab, man? How important is it to rehab your injuries? And can you just walk us through a day of when you're injured, what it looks like?
Yeah, it's very important. You could either, make the, injury time quite short if you rehab it quite well. So there's a lot of things to it, for myself at the moment, I have to keep my foot elevated and I have it in a cast at the moment to keep it in a stable place. So, it's a shorter time for it to heal. So there's a lot of things, there's things where, when it is injured, you don't use it quite often. So, your muscles tend to, stop working. So, when you start to get off the cast or the brace or whatever, it's that's the most vital time to start doing all your rehab stuff. So for myself, it's I like to go to train quite early and put on my training gears make sure that that what I'm doing is everything is according to our physio and that and at the moment I'm in the car, so I can't really do much at the moment. All I could do is just a bit of cardio here and there. I'll soon find out what the real rehab kind of life is. So,
for sure, man. And thanks for sharing that, bro. And I guess just mentally, how do you deal with a setback like this? And how important is being in the right mindset in order to make sure that you're sticking to the rehab and especially when you're on the sidelines watching the boys play as well.
Yeah, at the time it was pretty guttering, but I got a text from my wife, and she's the text said, be still in this moment, and through my faith and through who I believe in, Jesus Christ, there was a passage that came up. It was Jeremiah 29:11, and it said, for I know the plans I have for you, and that kind of kept me in a positive kind of attitude where things will just be all right. This injury is just a little bit of a setback, but this 12 weeks is going to be a time where I just grind for a comeback.
Yeah, man. And that's awesome, man. I really do appreciate you sharing that. I guess if I just touch on that a bit more, Just hearing that you're strong in your faith and using that to keep you motivated, it's so important. You know, I know that a lot of young footy players, when they get injured, they can get down. They can be like, you know, it's everything's not going right. But just having the right mindset does wonders for you, bro. So awesome, man. Thanks a lot for sharing that. So just with the club, man, let's just talk a bit about the club now. Huge turnaround, man. Huge. Yeah. Like, man, just share with us. What's the vibe like? What's the culture like? What's the environment? What's the buzz like around now with the boys, especially after, you know, slaying the Dragons?
Yeah, nah, man. Awesome, mate. From day one, since I started training November the first, where, you know, I walked into the Warriors in Mount Smart, and, man, I just thought, man, the facility, man, is awesome. You've been there, yeah. you see the facility, man. They have everything there, and then you wonder, you know, what's been happening. But you know, as soon as I met Corver, man, I knew straight away, man. He took no nonsense, nothing. Hey, man, it just started from our first day, you know, where it was me and a couple of junior boys, and, you know, we went straight 10K straight off the bat, you know, straight running straight. Yeah, I know, tell me. So, you know, so for me, it was a big shock to my body. And then the second day, you know, we spent 2 hours in, you know, 2 hours in the gym doing cardio. And I thought, oh, you know, it's just going to be a week, you know, just going to get smashed, you know, and then just ease off. But then I was talking to Corvo after that first week, and he just said, bro, it's going to be like this for the next 12 weeks. I was going to start myself with you. But, you know, at the time, man, it was tough, man. But, you know, for me, it was just, yeah, just looking forward to, just the round one and wanting to run out there being better than what I was, eh? So it's a good vibe around the club, you know. The boys are, you know, real close-knit, you know, everyone's tight to each other. What can you say, man? Like, the boys are looking good right now, and give credit to them, you know, especially our coaching staff as well, you know. It's an unbelievable coaching staff we have as well, that you know, is taking time for the boys and that, and just giving them tips here and there on where they can improve on.
Yeah, man, and that's awesome. And I think one thing I've noticed is the boys that are stepping in for more senior players. So guys like Jelling, Lino, that are coming in, grabbing the opportunity, Vete. So that's something that I haven't seen for a while. But while we touch on Corvo, because I had Corvo when I first started back in 2001 at the Raiders. And so back then with Corvs, there wasn't much scientific stuff behind conditioning. So we used to do a lot of 2 hour conditioning sessions, and how he would used to stop is by how many bodies were on the ground, and that's when he would pull it up. But how important was this preseason and the foundation that it set for the boys to start the season that they played the way that they've started?
I feel it was very important. You know, I feel that Corvo broke a lot of barriers that, you know, were still around. You know, you know, I remember our first gym session felt like a CrossFit session, and I still remember our first gym session. We had this thing where we jump on the, I think it was a CrossFit, one of those chin up bars, and you got to do 10 knee to a toes to bar. And man, so many of us struggled. So the thing was, we had to do 10 straight in a row, man. But there was heaps of us that had to do, like, dude, they were doing, like, 10 sets or 5 in there. And, bro, we just couldn't make it in. And Corso will turn around and goes, nah, do it again. Do it again until you get 10 in a row. And then I felt that at that time was, like, it was good for us because it kind of broke that mental barrier in our head that, bro, like, you know, it's not going to take shortcuts here. No halfway jobs here, you know.
Yeah.
It's better to get it all done now or else, you know what I mean, or else we're just going to keep continuing to do the same thing. And I think that's when everyone just clicked on. And I was like, all right, sweet. You know, when someone gives us the job, we have to do it straight away then and there, eh? So, and just all that stuff, you know, and we've done a lot of boxing. You know, we've done a lot of rowing. He gave us set targets that we had to make. We had this thing, you know, where we have a weekend warrior where, you know, there's gold standards and, you know, and all the boys are always trying to hit their gold standards. So it's pretty competitive where we're at, but no, it's for the good, eh?
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's one way of, I guess, of creating standards is by setting them, setting goals That's awesome, man. You know, I got a lot of time for Corvo, man. Really respect him as a person, as a trainer. So I think he's been a huge influence, good influence on you boys. So it's good. Now, that's a bit about the footy that I wanted to touch on for now. But really, you know, the name of my show, which I just named it, is called Success Story Conversations. And your story is something that I know a bit about. And I really just wanted to open it up to you, brother, and just share your journey, your story from where it started, and just walk us through. And then along the way, I'll just jump in if I need to. But man, this is just open for you to just share, bro, and how it all started to where you are now.
I grew up in Avondale. You know, all I knew was Avondale. So the thing was that my parents weren't wealthy, but they just gave us what we needed at the time. So we weren't really well off, but the thing was that we still went to I started playing footy at a young age. My dad loved me playing footy in that. What happened was I wasn't the brightest of kids at school, you know. So I went to Avondale College, in detention all the time. You know, they kept calling my parents, telling me, oh, bro, your son should try looking elsewhere, eh? And then thing was, I got a call from Keeper Park asking if I wanted to go over for 2 years for a scholarship. You know, left New Zealand, went over to Gold Coast, went to Keeper Park for 2 years, spent my 2 years there. After my 2 years at Gold Coast, I went to West Tigers, and my wife fell pregnant with my first child, Karenitas. That was a big turning bit in my life where I had to become a father at a very young age, and it was pretty tough at the time. But I had to kind of balance between working and because at the time at 20s, we only got $2,000 for the whole year. So to live off $2,000 for a whole year is it's pretty tough, eh? Especially in Sydney, you know. And then so I was in and out, wasn't really kind of concentrating on footy, and then there was the other things where, becoming a teenager, you get caught up in drinking, you get caught up in, wanting to party and everything else, I was caught up in a triangle, where, I had a family, I wanted to drink and I wanted to, party and but yet play footy, but, I was doing that for about good 2 years, actually more than that, 4 years. And then, after 20s, I went to West Magpies. And then after Magpies, I was lucky enough to get an opportunity
There's the little man.
After Magpies, I got an opportunity to get a run at Penrith off-season. And then went to Windsor, and then after Windsor, I got a call from one of the boys to go to Wyong, and moved up to Wyong.
And is this in the what's called the New South Wales Interest? Super Premiership.
The first year, what happened was Wyong got introduced to the New South Wales Cup, and I thought, look, here's a good opportunity for me to play New South Wales Cup, And then I went to Wyong and spent a year there, and then on the off season I went to France, and in France it was a game changer for myself. I was about 23 at the time, and
Still young.
Still young. But I had two kids at the time, and I was deciding. Yeah. I was contemplating whether, I wanted to work or, provide for the family, give footy a real crack. And then I went to France and I started playing footy over there, and I got to really feel what it was like to have a family and play footy. And then I had halfway through the year, I had an encounter with God. And at that time I was at rock bottom. My family was about to leave me, just because I was still up to my antics where, I was continuing to drink, continue to do all those things where, I thought it was pretty cool at the time. Mm-hmm. And my family was about to leave me, and then I had my encounter with God, and I just felt him say to me, "Are you done yet? you know, as everything, you know, finished, you know. And then I broke down, and I just said, man, look, you know, I'm done, man. I'm everything that I've done, I can't keep going this way, you know. Can't keep you know, putting myself first with everything that's happening. So man, I just had my encounter with him, and he said, look, you know, that's enough, you know, I'll take the wheel from here. But the thing was that it wasn't getting easier. I felt that at the time he was giving me life lessons where now here's the time now where I'm gonna start learning. And then so after that experience in France, I come back to Australia. I moved back with my family, and that's when I had to face the music where, you know, this is where the grind's gonna be. Yep. This is how it's gonna really be. And then you know, I went back to Wyand, it was half the season left, you know, and then I went back, came off the bench for Wyand in New South Wales Cup, and I had maybe what, 3-4 months left to actually look for. So I had no contract, nothing. Yeah, I'm not looking at me, and this is someone, you know, he was, So, you know,
what were you doing at that time? Sorry, bro, what were you doing? Were you working as well when you were at Wyand?
My first year I was working. My second year, when I come back from France, I had to decide whether I wanted to work or like work full time, or you know, travel from Sydney to Wyand. You know what I mean? So So the thing was that I had to sacrifice, you know, a couple of days, you know, of work, about 3 days a week of work, you know, and really concentrate on footy and you know, and making sure that my body was right before training in there. So the thing was that I had 4 months. I had 4 months to really actually, you know, get a gig. So man, I really took it upon myself and with my faith in that, like, it helped me on the way to stay patient, you know, not be discouraged. Yeah. You know, so the thing was that 4 months I heard nothing, and then I found out that you know, Wyand was feeded to the Roosters. You know, they were going to be feeded to the Roosters. Yeah. So I was like, oh, man, surely, you know, something's happening here. And then round 26, my arm breaks. See, so I broke my arm, and I was thinking, man, you know what? I was thinking, man, shucks, what NRL club is going to take on a 24-year-old player who's got a broken arm? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in my heart, I felt that, you know, God was talking to me, man, you know what? Just stay positive, you know? Don't be discouraged, you know? Just keep training. So we had this thing, you know what Mad Monday's like, you know? Everyone drinks and all that. So we had a Mad Monday that year. And you know, and it was the first time that Wyand ever made, you know, top eight, you know? Because the year before, we got thrashed every week. We couldn't even get a win. But then that year, we made the top eight. And, you know, boys were celebrating, you know? We made it to the second week of the final. Boys were celebrating, you know, and then, you know, for the end of the year, everyone was playing, yes, everyone, you're wasted, you know, everything. But in my heart, I felt, you know what, let them do, you know, it's not because, you know, I just thought, look, let them, you know, go, you know, enjoy themselves. Well, you know, I'll be out there, you know, training, making sure that, you know, I'll get this operation done. After this operation, I'm making sure that, you know, I'll be going down to the park. I'll be, you know, in Mount George, it's like 40 degree days. So, you know, I'll be training in those 40 degree days where I'll be taking my family, you know, I'll be going to gyms, you know. We didn't have no money. So at the time I was asking for free memberships at the gyms, you know how there's the, oh man, I'm looking for a gym, you know. Is there free
members?
Like, but you know, this was the grind, you know, free memberships. You know, my wife wouldn't give me $6, you know, a week so I could use the pool, you know, so I could swim, you know, just all that kind of stuff, you know. And then I done that all through where everyone was, you know, having their off season and then having, you know, a holiday, having their break in that, and then I was just training right through in that. And then I remember the day before preseason, I had no contract, nothing, still had a broken arm, you know. And then I get a call from my manager, you know, the Mentors family, and they said, bro, the Roosters want to take you on the day before, you know, they started. And I was like, bro, just my luck, I'm ready, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to go. Like, you know, if I had you know, looked at it in a way where, oh, I broke my arm, no one's going to look at me, and then, you know, put my foot up and just relax, then, you know, I wouldn't be ready for this call, you know. And then I just turned around, bro, look, I'm ready, you know. And then we were happy as, you know, and I was happy as, you know, and went into the training, just gave him my everything, yeah. And then done my you know, preseason with the Roosters. After the Roosters, you know, unfortunately, you know, they didn't want me, so I went back to Wyong. And I learned a lot from the Roosters, and I'm glad that I, you know, spent the preseason with them. And then went back to Wyong, and then I just started, like, just playing, you know, like to the best of my ability. And then halfway through the year, I got a phone call from, you know, my manager again, and then he was just like, bro, the Titans want to take you on. I was like, man, how awesome is that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, and this was, so I was turning 25, and this was a New South World Cup player getting straight off the bat contract. You know, and it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't the greatest, but it was an NRL contract for 2 years. And then I was like, fuck, man, like, you know what I mean? And you could just see everything slowly, like, puzzling in together. No, it was just awesome, man. And then I finished up my year at Wyong. And then me and my family, we stayed in a one-bedroom shack for about a good 2 months. Just to prepare ourselves, so we moved. So we drove up to Gold Coast after the year at Wyong, and then just went from there. You know, and then I spent done a preseason at the Titans. Man, just gave them my all over there. Left nothing in the tank again. You know what I mean? you know, I wasn't really in the plans of first grade at the time.
Yeah,
like you know, but I just said, look, you know, my mentality was, you know what, if I'm not in the plans, I'm going to make my way in there somehow, like, you know, do something, you know what I mean? Even if it means for me to be like, you know, like wherever, you know, I'm just going to show you something to show that, you know, I'm going to fit these plans somehow. So, just as I said, I left nothing in the tank for pre-season and that. And then what happened was I done my hammy in December. Yeah, I thought, oh, man, look, this is going to push me back a bit, you know, push me back down the pecking order. But so, you know, as I said, you know, with rehab and that, so I made sure, you know, kept my body in good shape, you know, ate well, you know, rehab well. I had my first NRL trial game in February against Parramatta.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was 2 weeks before, that was 2 weeks after my rehab and that day before I could run. So I only had 2 weeks to prepare for that game.
That trial.
And then, and then, you know, I just get lucky, you know, but there's the opportunity here, you know what I mean? This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've prepared myself for, you know, all these years, you know, and I'm going to leave nothing in the tank again, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I played well enough in the Parramatta trial. And then the next week later, I got, you know, got picked in the team to play against the Rabbitohs. And, man, I was still buzzing up, man. Like, you know, just to be in the 17, even to be called 18th man, you know what I mean? I've never been 18th man in my life, you know? And just to be 18th man, I was like, bro, I was happy. Like, you know, I was pretty content with, you know, and you know, we had the likes of Greg Bird, who was there, Seb Taya, Luke Douglas, you know, Ignatius Parsi in that. And I was just learning off them as well, so... and then I went to the Rabbitohs game. I played in that game, you know, played reasonably well. And then came to round one, and then one of the boys got suspended. And then I was thinking, oh, yes, sweet as, you know, if I didn't get picked for round one, you know, surely there's an opportunity throughout the year. But then round one came, and then Neil Henry came and he pushed me, and I was just sitting there, and I was just sitting there, oh, sweet. So, you know, when the coach sits there and you think, unfortunately, you know, this week you're not playing, you know what I mean? But when you sit there, I've named you in the 18 this week and you're debuting, bro. I was like happy as I sat there and I got up, man, and I left. And then I opened up my Bible and I started crying, man. And it turned me to Ecclesiastes 9:11, and it said the fastest warrior won't like always win the battle. The fastest runner won't always win the race, but the strongest warrior won't always win the battle, man. Just as long as it's the opportunity from God and Daddy. So, I started breaking down the tears and I started giving him all the glory because it belongs to me. He took me on a journey where, you know, I give thanks to my Heavenly Father, you know, for blessing me with, like, this journey to make me stronger to where I am today.
Yeah.
And then,
so you spent 2 years, at the Titans, eh? And, after that debut, and then how did the transition or the contract come to go home?
My manager gave me a call and it was like, man, like, the Warriors are interested in you. And I was like, it's going to be a big transition for me and my family to come home. And my wife was pregnant at the time. And then, but then everything started pointing to come back home. There was my little brother, you know, who was still inside. You know, there's my mom, there's my dad, you know, who were getting on. And then there was my kids, you know, who haven't really seen their grandparents and you know, or just wanting them to come back home, eh? So, you know, I prayed about these things and I believe that God gave me an answer to come back home, you know, one thing led to another. I ended up signing my deal to come back home for the next 3 years and just being blessed. Yeah. I just can't, like, I'm thanking enough.
Yeah, man. That's awesome, bro. I really just want to say a huge thank you for sharing just a snapshot of your story. What sort of touched me was when you spoke about when you got injured and you broke your arm and, you know, you went around and you tried to get free memberships, didn't have the money, you know, and that's, to me, that's, I believe success comes to those who work for it and you do whatever it takes. Yeah. And if the pull is there and the inspiration and your why is there, you're a testimony of that, you know, and I really just want to thank you and congratulate you on where you've come, bro, and your story and sharing it here really will inspire so many people, and that's awesome, man. You deserve every success that comes your way, and thank you for sharing your faith and your, you know, your strong relationship with God as well, man, and I really do appreciate that, so thanks, bro.
Hey, thanks, man.
Now that's awesome, man. So look, from now what we'll do, man, we'll just open it up just for I'll liven it up a bit and just ask you a few questions and then we'll just go into opening it to the viewers that are watching. So if you could be mentored by one person, who would it be and why?
At the moment, you know, at the Warriors I got Simon Mannering as my mentor. I got the ultimate warrior as my mentor. He's just an awesome fella, down to earth. He's been helping me out with my, like, when I was playing, he was helping me out with my games. You know, it was just little things that, you know, just to improve on and that. And you know, he's been a legend of the game for years, and you can see why. You can see why he's been around, man. He's just around the club, just doing all the little things, and you know, I even talked to, like, even Adam Blair as well. You know, he's another, you know, awesome fella to, you know, get tips off here and there. So I pretty much just talked to those two at the club and that.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And you know, I know Simon, and the Simon that you see today is the same Simon that turned up to the club in 2004, man. Still same guy, humble, goes about his business. So that's awesome. Toughest player you've played against?
Just dudes with footwork, bro, like Roger. Who else is there? There's Jordan Rapana as well. They're just hard to defend, eh? These dudes.
Yeah.
With footwork, man. Like, at least for someone who's big, you can put your body in front, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, something will happen. Like, you either, if you get bumped off, you bumped off. But, thing was just dudes were forwards. They're in front of you, and then, bro, the next thing you know, they're like running to a trailing. You think, bro, like, where did they go, eh?
Yeah, man, hard out.
Footwork, man.
Nah, I know exactly what you mean. When I used to play, and I used to defend outside the scrum,
Yeah.
And for someone like Matty Bowen, first receiver, or Greg Inglis, yeah. I used to be calling the lock, please hurry up, make sure you break, make sure you break.
Yeah, man,
dudes are footwork hard out. Finish the sentence for me, man. Finish the sentence. To play in the NRL, you must
prepare well.
What else?
Oh, man. It's just preparation is the key, man.
Like, yeah.
And be humble, too.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, preparation, man. I can't think it enough, bro. Like,
yeah.
That's the reason. Another reason why, too, man. It's just preparation, man. Just making sure that you took all the right boxes. Like that's in any like that's in anywhere in general. Like as a business or like you know anywhere else, you know. You know, you're just making sure you prepare yourself well, you know, just so you can start that day, even if it's each and every other day. So,
Man. That's awesome. I hear you on that one, bro. We had I had Kevin Mealamu on a few weeks ago, and he said the same thing. Preparation was the key.
Yeah.
Kevin Sianil, same thing. You know, preparing mentally, physically, having everything ready, being in the right mindset. So preparation, definitely feel you on that, bro. So what we'll do now, man, is I'll flick it over here, and we'll start opening it up now. We'll ask the viewers if you have any questions. Now's the time. We'll take in about, just look at the time, it'll take in about two or three. If you want to throw some questions at Levaha. Awesome. So, bro, you're getting a lot of comments and inspiring. Here's one, brother. Wilson Joshua William, are you staying a Warrior long term?
Yeah, I've been signed for the next 3 years. I've been blessed, eh? So, you know, but in saying that, you know, I'm still going to still grind away and work hard to better myself. So,
Man, that's awesome, bro. Congratulations. I know how much it means to get a long-term, you know, contract under your belt, knowing that you've got 3 years, man, and that's huge. So congrats, bro. Great question. Shay Wharton, do you miss scaffolding?
Oh, bro. Oh, man, I've got a funny story about that one, about scaffolding. Because I used to work in the yard,
And,
man, you know, the yard, you know, you get all the scaffolding ready, you know, for people who are out on site in there. And I go to the boss, take me out on site. You know, I'll be sweet. And they took me out on site one day, and then, bro, these guys made me lift, like, all these, you know, like, 2 meter boards and 2.4 meter boards and standards and all that. Bro, the guy goes to me, oh, you want to come back tomorrow? I was like, yeah. So we hopped in the truck on the way back. And bro, can I just stay at the yard, please? My shoulders are sore. I'm busy for the weekend, man. So, no way, man. No. They miss
Man, good question. There was another one here. I just got to scroll down. If you had a superpower, so this is from the Mount Smart Joker. If you had a superpower, what would it be and why?
Shut up, bro. You know what? I like Hulk, Hulk smash, like, you know, if ever I was on the field and, you know, I was just someone, you know, I could be invincible like him, like he's like one of those dudes, bro. Like, the more angry you get, like, you know, the more stronger you become. But I think the more angry I get, the more tired I would become on the field, and the more I start making. So probably like Hulk smash, maybe,
man. We'll take one more question. One more question for Levaha. I'll just keep scrolling just in case. Here we go. Here's the last one. And this is from Boris Fenton. What were your junior clubs? So obviously growing up in Dale. You played Marist, did you?
Yeah. Avondale College. I played at Avondale College.
Yeah.
Marist Saints. Yeah, I played at Marist Saints as well.
Yeah.
And then Keeper Park.
You were never tempted to go down to suburbs to play rugby?
Oh, bro, I did play rugby. Actually, I started playing rugby.
Yeah,
so just anywhere locally. So I started playing rugby first. And then it wasn't until like schoolmates said, bro, we'll go have we'll go play some league, and we all played for Avondale College that year, and we won that year too against St. Paul's. So, you know, we defied the odds that year too, man, against St. Paul's. So, you know, yeah. I'm still mates with all those dudes, you know. And then the next year, the boys, we all went to Marist, but I was younger than some of the boys. They all played up here, and
yeah,
ended up going to and meeting up with Sitonga Likiliki and Khalifa and all those dudes at Marist.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome, bro. We have one more question. This is from Sydney. What advice can you give someone who doubts themselves, or have you ever doubted yourself, especially someone who has potential?
I feel like with that, man, just got to keep encouraging me. Like, man, and it takes one person there. Like, I was lucky enough that I had a teacher and at school who kind of believed in me a bit.
Yeah.
And I was blessed to meet my wife as well, you know, who's blessed me as well. And she's kind of helped me out on my road to where I'm at today, because there's times where I was like, bro, I didn't think I was a good rugby league player, you know. I just stick to working and then, and she just turned around. It's like, no way, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm just like, bro, just remember that the tide will always change, man. If you just keep working, keep grinding, just keep chipping away at it, because things will change, man. It might take, a couple of years, but, I believe that things will change, man, if you just keep grinding. And, if you see someone who, just pick them up, man. A few kind words, you know what I mean? Like, just, focus on what they're good at, because, everyone always remembers what they're not good at. But, it's just things like what they're good at, and just bring the positives out of them, so they could feel good about themselves, and they can, like, carry on their journey.
Yeah. That's awesome, bro. Thanks for that, man. And awesome question, Sydney. Just to wrap it up, bro, one of the things that I really wanted to share with you, and obviously with your story is very sort of similar to mine, and also to Ia, is that I believe that during our journey, during this road that we go on, there is what I call a defining moment in our life. And that defining moment is that, I guess, whether we're at that crossroads, whether we become aware of we're not happy with the life that we're living or what we're achieving, and maybe nothing. And something occurs within us that inspires us. For you, you found God. Same as we are. For me, it was my family. But then there comes that defining moment where you have to make that decision to start becoming, following your dreams, becoming the person you need to be. And that's what I got from your story, man. And then what happened after that, you put in motion and did whatever you needed to do to make that happen. And now you've got 3 years at the Warriors. You're part of a great club, and it's fair to say that you're living your dream. And this didn't come by accident, And that's the one thing that I've learned from listening to your story, and I think everyone else has as well, bro, is that you've earned every piece of success that comes your way. And I thank you so much for sharing your story here, brother. It's definitely inspired me. And I know it continue to inspire those that have watched it and those that will watch it. So on that note, bro, any final thoughts, anything, a final message that you'd like to leave with our viewers?
Bro, wherever or whenever you're feeling down or whatever, man, just stay encouraged, man. Just bring the positives out from, whatever negatives you have, man. Like, always think positive first before there's negative thoughts start coming into your head, man. And remember, bro, just grind, man. Grind. Yeah. Things will just change in your life. It took me about 4 or 5 years, man, until I saw, something really, so things will change if you just keep consistent and just grinding away.
Thanks for lending me your ear. If you got value out of that, please follow, subscribe, and also share this episode, and head over to athleteempire.co.nz, subscribe to our newsletter, and start to be part of this awesome community of athletes who want to be able to not only give back, but start turning their passions outside of sport into a profession and start generating a profit. Now is the time to be your athlete CEO.